UTC right after the international news.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. This evening, we continue our preview of the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, which tips off its second season on Saturday, March 5th, in Dakar, Senegal.
Voice of America!
The Voice of America is once again a proud broadcasting partner of the BAL, and I'm looking forward to anchoring our English radio coverage. 7 of the 12 BAL teams will be making their debuts. One of the returning teams is AS Sahel of Morocco, which reached the quarterfinals in the inaugural 2021 BAL tournament. For Basketball Africa League 2022, the Moroccan club has hired a trailblazing female coach from Australia, as we hear now from VOA's Jackson Vunganyi.
It is impossible to talk about basketball in Morocco without mentioning the Association Sportive de Sahel. To face the Basketball Africa League, which is on the horizon, the team is entrusted to this Australian lady, Liz Mills, and it is a first in Morocco, a woman at the head of a first division men's team. Mills is also the very first woman to have coached a men's basketball team in Africa. She led the Kenyan national team to the AfroBasket Finals in 2021 for the first time in 28 years. She now has 11 years of experience, and she has confidence in AS Sahel and believes the team will be triumphant.
The strength of this team is its experience. We've got some of the best players in Africa playing for this club who have experience going against the teams that we're going to face in the BAL, and that really matters, having veterans in your team. We've also got quality imports as well, and we've got a great new generation of young Moroccan players who are going to show their talent in the upcoming games.
They train from Monday to Friday for at least 2 hours in collective sessions and regularly play matches against other teams. Alal is part of this new generation on whom the club relies. He's been playing for AS Sahel for 2 years now and knows exactly where the team will draw its strength from to face the next competition.
Our strength are the coach who gives us the instructions, the team who plays with heart, and we play to win. That's why we always play to win, without forgetting the efforts of the presidents and all the guys behind the club.
And the management team, which wants to go even farther with its club, does not skimp on the means. Abderrouf Bentaleb, its deputy president, sets out the new vision that will allow AS Sahel always maintain a good level.
We had a generation that had allowed us to win several titles and trophies in the past. Today, it is necessary to renew the team, to rejuvenate it. We have therefore recruited 6 high-level players who are in the process of integrating and adapting to the style developed in the team thanks to participation in tournaments and taking into account the fact that we are a big club which plays to win titles. And that's our vision for the moment.
Haruna is one of those new recruits. He is of Nigerian origin and was spotted during the first edition of the Basketball Africa League, which took place in Rwanda. He was then playing with the Cameroonian club against AS Sahel. Today, he admits that he feels good in his new family and hopes for better results thanks to the Liz Mills training regimen.
As Coach Liz said, it's preparation. You have to be ready in every possible detail, whether it's taking care of your body, preparing yourself physically for the weight room, coming an hour or two before, and trying to train, watching the film of the other teams, knowing the players, game systems, strength of other coaches, weaknesses of other teams. It is the preparation. You have to invest everything there and go, and that's it. Afterwards, you have to leave with the results.
Alvaro Massa is Spanish. He recently joined AS Sahel after having been champion several times in Mozambique. He's also confident in his teammates' abilities and skills.
I think we are a versatile team. We have a lot of options. We have guards, we have shooters, we have people that play one-on-one. It's going to be difficult to defense us. And the coach is really good, and he's going to help us to get the objectives.
8 times Moroccan champion, 11 times winner of the Throne Cup, Africa Club champion, Arab Vice Champion of Clubs, the Corsairs of Sal, as some supporters nicknamed them, will play 5 phase matches at Dakar in their group named Sahara Conference from March 5th to 15th, 2022.
And thanks to VOA's Jackson Vunganyi for that report. The Moroccan club AS Sal will tip off its 2022 Basketball Africa League campaign on Sunday, March 6th, when it plays Rwanda Energy Group, or REG, at the Dakar Arena in Senegal. Prince Nesta will be joining me on some of our special BAL broadcasts. I ask Prince for his thoughts on AS Sal's female head coach, Liz Mills.
I think Liz Mills is a fantastic coach, considering the fact that she won some interesting games, you know, as far as Kenya is concerned. She helped them to, you know, qualify for the FIBA championships. And, you know, Kenya has actually been a team with great potential. But, you know, once Coach Mills actually, you know, coach Kenya, there are things that she was doing and outside the court, because normally, you know, a lot of coaches focus on court dynamics and stuff, but there were things she actually brought in a couple of more technical expertise as far as reviewing matches is concerned, technology, and she brought in a lot of technology to basically bolster the Kenyan squad. And, you know, it really proved critical as Kenya actually pulled out some surprise performances, honestly. And it also goes out to show women, for instance, that, you know, they have a major role to play as far as the Basketball African League is concerned. You know, lots of women are looking up to Coach Mills and saying, if she can do it, as we can do it also.
That's Prince Nesta commenting on Liz Mills, the head coach of the Moroccan men's basketball team, AS Sal.
The Basketball Africa League is back. Voice of America joins forces with Africa's premier men's basketball league to bring you the second season of the BAL. It is game on March 5th, 2022. 38 games, 12 teams leaving it all on the court in Senegal, Egypt, and Rwanda to determine the 2022 season champion. Tune in to VOA 24/7, FMs, and to our radio and TV affiliates for some action. Pre-game, play-by-play, post-game, daily highlights, delivered by our finest commentators. Basketball Africa League 2022 on Voice of America. May the best team win.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Masai Ujiri's Toronto Raptors edged the visiting Brooklyn Nets by 1 point on Tuesday night. The AP's John Letherby reports from Toronto, Canada.
Gary Trent Jr. led the Raptors' offense as Toronto won a back-and-forth affair 109-108 at Scotiabank Arena. Trent Jr. led a team of mostly rookies and second-year players in the final 5 minutes, finishing with 24 points, including 9-for-9 from the free-throw line.
Being in certain moments where you have to lock in, almost where it's a playoff environment type of game, you know, down to the wire type of thing. You know, just building blocks, you know, to help you be ready for the end of the season when it matters the most.
Pascal Siakam and Scotty Barnes chipped in with 18 points each. Former Raptor James Johnson led an undermanned Nets squad with 19 points. It was the Raptors' first capacity crowd since mid-December following the lifting of COVID restrictions. John Letherby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. Toronto's Cameroonian star Pascal Siakam says it was great to see that capacity crowd of 19,000 at Scotiabank Arena.
It felt good, man, seeing some familiar faces out there, and I'm sure the fans were excited. You know, we heard them, and feels good, man. It feels great to have everyone back.
In Los Angeles, California, Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks defeated LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers by 5 points. We'll hear from Luka now in this report by the AP's Mark Myers.
The Mavericks came up big in the fourth quarter to beat the Lakers 109-104. Dallas, which gave away a 21-point first-half lead, ended the contest on a 15-4 run to gain its eighth win in 10 games. Luka Doncic scored 7 of his team-high 25 points in the fourth.
My mantra is, close the game. I'm trying to close the game, get the best shot possible. Some of the shots weren't the best, but we executed on the stretch. Our defense was amazing.
Jalen Brunson finished with 22 points.
Most importantly is that we didn't really crack ourselves. We had a lead, and we didn't really let that affect us, knowing that we gave up the lead. So the most important thing is that we kept playing, we kept fighting, just stuck together.
LeBron James topped the Lakers with 26, but LA is reeling, having lost 6 of 7. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. Now let's go to Minneapolis, Minnesota, where the Minnesota Timberwolves topped the Golden State Warriors by 15 points. The T-Wolves got a big game from their center, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
Karl Anthony Towns had 39 points and 9 rebounds as the Timberwolves coasted to a 129-114 victory over the sputtering Warriors.
I just really wanted to come out here and play my best to try to get us a win tonight against a really good team. You're playing the Golden State Warriors, so you know how everyone feels about that. You wake up with a different energy and a different vibe.
D'Angelo Russell pitched in 22 points, and Malik Beasley added 20 on 6 of 9 shooting from three-point range for Minnesota. Steph Curry led Golden State with 34 points, but the NBA's all-time leading three-point shooter went just 5 of 16 from downtown. Gary Payton II added 14 points for the Warriors, who have the NBA's second-best record but have lost 6 of 8. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. The three other winners on Tuesday night in the NBA were the Boston Celtics, the Los Angeles Clippers, and last but not least, the Washington Wizards.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including as Russia continues its advancement into Ukraine, oil and gas giants BP and Shell announce they are leaving Russia after spending decades making investments worth billions of dollars in the country. Join us for Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle at VOA Sunny Sports. Now let's go to Orlando, Florida, where George McNeely joins us with some Professional Golfers Association news.
Sunny Mondays following PGA Tour events are generally a travel day, but one day after Sepp Straka rallied to win the Honda Classic for his first tour win, the PGA of America revisited its former headquarters, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, to introduce Zach Johnson as Ryder Cup captain for Rome 2023. The two-time major champion has served as assistant captain for the last two Ryder Cups, including last year's 19-9 USA victory at Whistling Straits. Later in the day, the Valspar Championship held its media day in advance of Tampa's tour stop. And that means a four-week stretch for defending champion Sam Burns, who met with those assembled before heading to Orlando for this week's Arnold Palmer Invitational, which features a strong field and a challenging layout at the Bay Hill Golf and Country Club.
Should be some tough conditions, and so really looking forward to it. And then obviously the players next week, kind of our championship, I guess.
And then the Valspar at Innisbrook the following week. You could call that one Sam's championship, since Burns is defending his title.
It definitely gives you confidence knowing that hopefully you can do it again. And then next time you're in that position, you can kind of lean back on those experiences.
That's Sam Burns on his way to Bay Hill, where defending Arnold Palmer Invitational champion Bryson DeChambeau has withdrawn from his title defense this week due to a lingering left-hand injury. He tweeted in a video saying he's only at about 90%. And of course, the Players' Championship looms largely a week from now. Covering the PGA Tour in Florida, for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm George McNeely in Orlando.
Thanks, George.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel. Next up, a conversation with Anna Borshevskaya, senior fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Peace, about the latest developments in President Vladimir Putin's war against Ukraine. Borshevskaya will address the humanitarian and geopolitical stakes in this asymmetrical conflict, the unity of NATO, the EU, and the United States in punishing Moscow. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go to Liberia, where the first official football headquarters is being built in the capital, Monrovia. The construction project, according to Liberia's Football Association, is estimated at about $1.5 million. World Football's governing body, FIFA, is funding the project 100%, according to the Liberia FA. Moses Garzio has been visiting the construction site, and he joins us now with a feature report.
Carpenters, masons, welders, and electricians seemed quite busy attending to different portions of the construction work. The unfinished structure already stands tall in the Monrovia skies, with three floors to count, hosting a large conference room and dozens of small and large offices. Founded in 1936, this is the first time the Liberian FA will have an official home, something that delights the FA president, Mustafa Raji.
And I'm excited that we got the overall mandate of stakeholders in Liberia to construct the headquarters and support from the FIFA Forward program. So we're very excited that we will now own our own place and office to continue with the affairs of the Football Association.
It's not only the FA president that is delighted for this milestone for Liberian football. Football stakeholders Jelata Seyo and James Nimeni were fascinated about what was happening.
I'm very, very impressed with the level of construction that is going on. If you look at what he's already doing, considering a lot of football pages that have been built, and with a brand new headquarters for first of the kind in Liberia, we can say it has added value to soccer in Liberia.
I think it has boosted our football climate, because you know Liberia is a football-loving country, and when people come inside Liberia, they see such a gigantic structure, very modern. It brings some relief. show some sense of development in our football. So we believe that it is welcoming, it is good.
It might be a structure expected to be used for the Liberian FA administrative work, but President Raji has different plans that will also benefit football clubs and football history.
It's valued, yes, around 1.5 million that will host all of the structures of the LFA and offices to be provided to support member clubs and especially women's football. It has almost all of the facilities you expect. We also have a portion that is going to be like a museum where we can have information that will show past players, past administrators of the Football Association. Today we don't have such in any of our facilities, and we're looking towards doing that.
The FA said the headquarters construction was also necessary to keep Liberia in good standing with FIFA if they are to continue benefiting from the FIFA Forward program. FIFA provide funding to member associations to run infrastructure and technical programs that support football development. Raji said with government challenge to provide the needed support of football due to competing priorities, it was necessary to keep the FA on FIFA's radar of support.
During the dedication ceremony of the TUSA pitch, President encouraged us to ensure that we utilize the funding from FIFA in the best way possible to benefit many Liberians. Given the challenges we faced with in the country today, in the economy, with the challenges of fixing roads, providing health care, providing sources of education.
As part of improving the country's football infrastructure, Mustafa Raji and his football association also constructed three new artificial turf pitches with funding from the FIFA 2.0 program in the last 2 years. This progress has been hailed by Liberia's president and football icon George Weah. In April 2021, at one of the dedicatory ceremonies, Mr. Weah committed his government to refurbishing every football pitch he played on while growing up in the slum of Monrovia. The former FIFA World Player of the Year also expressed the need for his country to host the Africa Cup of Nations, which was dependent upon building football infrastructure, something he said his government was fully committed to. For the VOA Sunny Silas Sports, this is Moses Gazu in Monrovia, Liberia.
Thanks, Moses.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. Heather, by the way, is currently in Algeria on a special music project, and we wish Heather safe travels on her latest musical adventure. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Ugandan government has announced a $27 million renovation project for its national stadium at Nambole. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Magume Davis Rakawinj reports from Kampala, Uganda.
Hamson Obua, Uganda's Minister of State for Sports, announced the government had allocated some 97 billion Uganda shillings, or some $27 million, for the renovation of Mandela National Stadium, also known as Nambole. Bernard Bainamani, Uganda Premier League CEO, welcomes the news. He says the suspension of games at the stadium has affected both local teams and the national team's performance.
That is the good news for the sport, and it is good news for the league, among other users, that are welcoming this development. Of course, the national team also uses the same stadium for international matches. Actually, I will extend it to even representative teams, those ones that represent us in CAF Champions League, and then also in CAF Confederation Cup.
Mandela Stadium was built with a grant of $36 million from China and was opened in 1997. It delivers its name from former South African President Nelson Mandela. Coincidentally, the late reggae icon Lucky Dube, also from South Africa, opened it with a concert. Located some less than 10 kilometers from Uganda's capital Kampala, the stadium becomes easily accessible by fans. In 2019, FIFA suspended the use of the stadium due to poor standards both interior and exterior. FIFA found that the pitch, toilets, pavilion and dressing rooms at the stadium were not in consonant with modern stadium standards. Dakaba Ismail Chigongo, a sports analyst in Uganda, says the overhaul of the stadium was long overdue.
Considering that there weren't so many when it was built in the early 90s by that Chinese grant, so there's an attachment, there's sentiment with it. We've also seen our national team, the Uganda Cranes, compete very well when they've played there. So there's a lot of sentiment attached to it. It's an important, you could say, national monument, the stadium in itself. We had become used for a large part of 15 years to having Nambole as part of the sports fraternity. So not to have it is a bit of a dampener.
Dakaba says some national team players have intimated to him that they play better while at Mandela Stadium, which has a natural grass, as opposed to playing to other grounds that have artificial turf. Sports analyst Dalin Cheyine says the closure of the stadium has affected not only soccer, but other sports disciplines.
The sprinters and middle distance runners actually had to fly and go next door in Nairobi, Kenya, to be able to train. And this even in preparation for the Olympic Games last year. So to have the stadium back is very important for the athletes. Furthermore, for other leagues that are set to resume this year in the aftermath of the lockdown, say the volleyball league, the athletics season, the Uganda Premier League itself, about three clubs at some point have been sharing Nambole to host league matches. But more importantly, the Uganda Cranes, that for several years since the stadium came into light at the turn of the century has been hosting matches there. So it's very, very important for sportsmen to have the stadium back.
Mighty soccer African teams such as Nigeria, Egypt, Senegal and Ghana have all fallen the Uganda national men's team, the Uganda Cranes, at Mandela Stadium. Cheyune says the players have great attachment and are so much used to playing here. Abdu Nasser, a sports reporter in Kampala, agrees.
That's the only stadium of its kind that we have in Uganda. So having it in its current state for quite long is a big disservice to our own efforts to promote sports. The runners struggled to train for the recent Olympics because that's where they can access real training facilities. Not the best, but close to ideal. And we really needed Nambole to be in the best state possible because we don't have very many facilities.
And fans here say they can't wait for the renovation to be completed so they can watch their national team play at a ground they consider their fortress.
My name is Omara Diken. I'm excited about the pending opening of the Nambole Stadium. We will now prepare to go back and celebrate, support our teams, especially the national team. I'm very excited about it.
I'm called Kenya Yakub. Actually, it's good for the National Stadium of Uganda to be renovated, just because we need even actually the government also to put in more effort by constructing other stadiums that we can also host, like African Cup, World Cup. Yeah, most times, actually, I used to go there before, but the stadium wasn't all good. That is it. So it needs to be renovated to the level that even people from Europe can come either play friendly matches in here, Uganda.
I'm from Bariseka Jugo. What I miss for Nambole, we've been going there to support, when Uganda Cranes is praying. That's what I miss, because we have been going there to watch Uganda Cranes and other teams like Masaza team. I will be feeling okay when it will be finished.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala.
And that wraps up the March 2nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.